I was thinking about what to speak on here this morning. I was watching one of the God channels on television, and I switched between the whole lot of them, and I was amazed at the error of doctrine that was reflected in each one. And I asked myself the question, and I ask it here, is doctrine important? Because these sort of Christian television evangelists, they say things like, never mind doctrine, think of God's law. And doctrine divides. And this is perfectly true. Doctrine does divide. And rightly so. If you were to follow the doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses, you would deny the deity of Christ. You would deny the existence of hell. And you would state that heaven, the doors of heaven are closed to all, bar 144,000. And if you follow the doctrines of Mormon, you'd say that Jesus lived on another planet at one time, and we're all going to become gods in the end. And if you followed the doctrine of Islam, you would deny the Trinity as the witnesses do, and you would speak of Allah. So doctrine is important. You even go to Proverbs, verse 1 and 2. You needn't turn to them because I have them down here. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So, as I speak, we'll discover that doctrine is the same as law, and is the same as truth. Doctrine must be based on God's truth, and we get God's truth from the Bible. John 7, 17 and 18 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory, this glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, the Lord himself taught doctrine. Every word from his lips was doctrine. John 2:9 points out very clearly and severely the importance of true doctrine. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So this is a very black and white statement. If your doctrine is wrong, you haven't got Christ. You're worshipping a different Christ than the one we worship. John 17:1 says, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, doctrine is acquainted with truth. And Matthew, when he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, says in chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And Mark 4:2, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And we're told in Timothy that we're to preach the word. Preach the word. be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Doctrine is most important. If we haven't got sound doctrine, we are worshipping the wrong God. So, to say that doctrine is divisive is true. It's rightly divisive because we must contend for the faith. And we can only contend for the faith when we know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. And this is very important. But to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, we are to, we're to preach doctrine. Basically, every time Mark gets up and he's expounding on Scripture, he's preaching doctrine. He's preaching the Word of God, the truth of God. Isaiah 28:9-10 reads, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, we're not to be arrogant in our doctrine. We're not to be arrogant in our preaching. We're to preach it with humility and love. And we're to allow time for doctrine to sink into people's hearts and minds. We can't expect them to accept it all just in one saying. It is necessary to do it line upon line, precept, precept upon precept. And we have a warning from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And we see this very much among Christendom at the moment. We have these people who are the name and claim of brigade, the health and wealth preachers, and the signs and wonders preachers. And their main motivation, when you really look into it, is personal financial gain. They have turned Christianity into a business. And they sound so sweet, and they sound so holy, and they sound so caring, that they fool many and many a person. First Timothy 4:6 tells us, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. If we preach sound doctrine, we are doing the Lord's work. The doctor says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they are profiting, may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. So doctrine is also equated with salvation. We can only be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only be saved through the true and biblical Lord Jesus Christ. All the other Christs that are in the world today, that people are bound to, are false Christs, and they're bound basically to Satan. No matter how pious they sound, no matter how loving they sound. You see, the trouble is, if you're speaking God's truth, and if you are staying strictly within Scripture, you give out the impression that you're a fanatic, that you're hard, that you're not loving, because you're getting these words from these preachers that says, look, all that's necessary is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ignore everything else and have concern for each and every one of us. But a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is highly important. But it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's only through Him that we are saved. The Lord says, and we were talking about it being divisive, and it is divisive. If you turn around and you say, and you're talking, say to Catholics, and you tell them, the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's going to be divisive. Because they feel that the only way of getting to the Son is through Mary. So, no man commands the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. The Bible speaks of the doctrine of men and the doctrine of demons. There are many doctrines in the world today. The only doctrine that we need, the only doctrine that can save us, the only doctrine that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the doctrine of truth. It is also regenerative. Romans 6:17 says, but the God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, which ye have obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Again, we see here the importance of doctrine. It's equated with truth, it's equated with salvation, and it's equated with genuine worship of God. Titus 1:9 tells us, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So when you're speaking, and you're talking to the unsaved, if you are speaking God's truth, within that is the power of salvation. The gospel has the power of salvation. Not the eloquence of the preacher. He can be stammering, he can be nervous, he can barely read. But if he puts forth the gospel, it's the gospel that has the power of salvation. Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. Again, it is equated with salvation. Now, there are many blacks in the Catholic Church, and they have their theologians and their bishops and their cardinals and all the rest of it. And they talk about, oh, the Bible isn't sufficient in itself. You need tradition as well. Matthew 15:6-9 sort of knocks that on the head. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 11. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Now we know that the law is good, if anyone uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, immoral persons, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted. Gospel, the gospel message, sound doctrine, it's a two-edged sword. It convinces some of its truth, and it opens the pathway to heaven for them. And it convicts others of their guilt, and it sends them down the road to hell. Titus 1:7-11 mentions a bishop, that the bishop could be an elder, preacher, whatever. He must hold firm to the sure word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to confute those who contradict it. For there are many insubordinate men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for base gain what they have no right to teach. For teaching for base gain. Now think of all these famous television evangelists, these so-called healers and workers of miracles. And what is their motivation? Is their motivation to proclaim Christ? No. Their motivation is their own pockets. They live in mansions. They drive Rolls Royces. They have private jets. Yet they're supposedly doing the Lord's work. If these so-called healers really had the power of healing, and I put it to each one of you here, if you had that power, would you be in the hospitals and in the homes of the sick? And would you be proclaiming to the world the mightiness of God by healing them and curing them? And the last thing you have in your mind is being paid for it. You'd be out there doing the Lord's work. Titus 1:15, verse 2 and to the pure all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their deeds. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good deed. But as for you, teach what benefits sound doctrine. Bid the older men be temperate, serious, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. First Timothy 6:3-5 states, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching which accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit. He knows nothing. He has a morbid craving for controversy and for disputes about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, base suspicions, and wrangling among men who are depraved in mind and forfeit of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. They wrangle about words. I remember having a discussion on Revelation television with a pastor, and it was on whether man seeks God or God seeks man. And he was arguing about the meaning of and God's soul of the world. And he was concentrating on that word. And it says it right here. And disputing about words. 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Guard the truth has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. You know, there is an onus on each of us to be able to explain when questioned, why do you believe this? We need to be able to answer that question. We need to know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. And the only way that we can even be convicted and convinced in our own hearts is to compare everything we hear from the preachers we're listening to, let it be Mark, let it be Neil, whoever it is, compare what they are telling you with Scripture. If it agrees with Scripture, it's right. If it doesn't agree with Scripture, it's wrong. And there's a necessity to point that out when somebody is in error. They're saying, well, look, according to the verses I'm reading here, that is not correct. And that keeps us going down the narrow road. Because they're told clearly in the Bible, the road to destruction is broad, easily traveled, and easily found. But the road, you know, to life and salvation is narrow and rocky and difficult to find, and even more difficult to walk along. And few it are that find it. I want to tell you this poetry from Spurgeon here. And I'm going to end at that. This is a quote taken from a sermon of his, Free Will, a Slave. Sermon of Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, I will go as far as Martin Luther in that strong assertion of his, where he says, if any man doth ascribe of salvation, even the very least, to the free will of man, he knoweth nothing of grace, and he hath not learned Jesus Christ aright. It may seem a harsh sentiment, but he who in his soul believes that man does of his own free will turn to God cannot have been taught of God, for that is one of the first principles taught us when God begins with us, that we have neither will nor power, but that he gives both to us, that he is the Alpha and Omega in the salvation of all men. Our doctrine is the doctrine of grace, commonly called the tulip doctrine. The total depravity of man, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. And God willing, over sometime in the future, we can go over each of these points of doctrine so that we do know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Sound doctrine.